Having finished the Easter season, celebrating Trinity Sunday and Corpus Christi, we come to the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and I get to wear green again. And we begin this 10th Sunday in the first book of Kings, where we hear about the prophet Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Just previous to today's reading, he had, through his intercession to God, provided her with unending oil, so that she could bake and survive the famine, she and her son. And in today's account, we hear how her son has become sick and has died. So Elijah, knowing that he can't quite do it himself, but turning to God, prays so that the boy might be restored to life. And in the reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, we see Elijah fulfilled in Jesus, as he raises the dead young man to new life. Since, well, interestingly enough, both of these gentlemen are sons of widows. And we can see the connection between the two as Elijah is fulfilled in Christ. And as St. Paul reminds us in that letter to the Galatians, Jesus is the fulfillment who reveals the full gospel, the full good news, as exhibited very profoundly in the life of St. Paul, who was transformed from one who was breathing murderous threats and striking down the church to one of its greatest apostles and leaders. For the gospel that St. Paul received and which is proclaimed to us through Jesus Christ gives life, transforming life. Interestingly enough, in our current culture, we seem to be fascinated with zombies, The Walking Dead, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, or whatever that movie's called. And yet, when we look at zombies, they are filled with nothing, emptiness, mindlessness, purposelessness, meaningless existence as they sort of wander around. Such a contrast to our gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who gives us new life in this world and the promise of eternal life to come. But if we are truly to be called Christians and followers of Christ, then we need to follow that gospel fully, which means the cross and the resurrection, following Christ in dying and rising. Through weakness and dying, do we experience the self-transcending love of God, the love that has us go beyond ourselves to the other who is God and to the other who is neighbor. So what does this dying and rising look like? It happens when we engage God and other people, for we are transformed by that encounter. It happens when we take the time to form and inform our consciences, learning what the church teaches, seeking her guidance to life decisions, going to the sources. We are in a political year. Have we consulted faithful citizenship written by our bishops to begin to form our consciences so that when November comes, we can take up our civic duty and vote? This dying and rising means recognizing and accepting our weaknesses and sins so that we can receive God's mercy and grace. It is the Jubilee year of mercy, after all. The confession is a beautiful place. It means fighting for family and for marriage and all that we hold dear. And on the other hand, not accepting a moral relativism, but recognizing that there is right and wrong, and people, frankly, can't just live as they want to, but are called to living according to the law of God, revealed in Jesus Christ. It means returning to that childlike faith and being awe-inspired by creation. and the world around us, to look at things from God's perspective, to smell the flowers, examine the trees, not for too long, but just enough to appreciate what God has given to us. It means having faith and placing our trust in Him, recognizing that He is present, that He wants to heal us and raise us to Himself if only we are open to Him as He is. It means recognizing our need for a Savior, not somehow thinking that we are completely done. This dying and rising challenges us to read the Scriptures, to pray each day, and to fast for the sins of the world as we are able to. This dying and rising takes place when we adequately prepare for Mass, preparing to enter into the liturgy, to receive our God into our very bodies and souls, and not just simply catching up with our fellow parishioners, but treating this sacred space as a place of prayer and preparation for this event wherein heaven and earth are united, and the angels and saints join us in worshiping God, quieting our minds and our hearts so that we can receive and listen and hear God speaking to us. It means letting go of our selfish egos and being filled with the love of God by loving Him with all our heart, mind, strength, and will, our entire being, so we might more perfectly love our neighbor. In this Mass, Christ comes to give us new life and calls us to conversion. And like St. Paul, we need to receive this gospel as it is, challenging as it is, so that we might be transformed into the image of Christ. And then we need to go forth and share this good news with all the world, beginning today and all throughout this week, attending to our family members, our co-workers, the people who come to us each day and who we are called to encounter and serve. Just yesterday, we learned of the death of Muhammad Ali. And one of the quotes that he was going across Facebook was, "Service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth." Let us seek and strive and do this week to show the world that Christ offers us life and life to the full through loving acts of service, especially now that school is done and we have time. Showing the world that our God is a God of love. And as we receive His body and blood in this Eucharist, as we are filled with God's very life, may we be strengthened, knowing that God is within us, to go forth to share with all that death is not the end, but that we have new life in Jesus Christ.